You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
On this episode, we are talking about everything good and bad about Cyberpunk, as well as all news Star Wars. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm, your source for all things of the things we just announced, as Travis said in the intro. All of those things, this is your source for those, just those
this
two things.
This is your source for our opinions on things. Hi, I'm Travis.
Hi, I'm Brandon. And we just want to do a little shout out. We don't do this very often, but over in the Twitch chat, Have a good A face is in there. He's the one who does our voiceover for the start of the show. So just a shout out, good job, Matt. You know, I've known him for so many years, and the only thing that he ever wants to do is do voices for everybody else's stuff. Like he was just on a Star Wars podcast recently with I guess some friend of his that he knows, and he's like, oh, you should go on his podcast to talk to him. I was like, okay, cool. I don't know that guy. You should reach out to him and send my name. He's like, okay, sure. He's never done that. He has yet to do that. So he's like, be on this guy's podcast, but I'm not going to do any work on your behalf. So, Matt, thank you. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm.
And thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the show. And if you want to have such an intimate and personal connection with us the way Matt does, then you can follow us on the social internet. You can follow us over on Twitter at Apathusiast. I'm at Jugglemino. He's at Barnyard Cruise. On Facebook, facebook.com/apathetic enthusiasm show. You can send us an email, apathetic enthusiasm show@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm, or over on the web, apatheticenthusiasm.com, where you can find this show as well as interstitial RSS and submit it for your approval, all sorts of stuff. You can watch video versions of this podcast over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. And we are streaming this live Monday nights over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. You can be part of the show. You can be there as it happens over on Twitch. Finally, you can support us financially, if you will, over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. If you head out there this week, you can catch the pre-show. I am making this available to everyone. Just go over to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can see this week's pre-show where I quizzed Brandon on the top 15 most popular holiday movies. So if you want to see that video, you can only get that at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Brandon, how you feeling? Have you finished all your shopping yet?
I have finished all my shopping. I don't want to speak too loudly because the Saturday night I was up all night. I was at work from 6 p.m. to 6 in the morning.
Oh boy.
And I used that time to finish up Chelsea's Christmas presents. And I have to say that
Chelsea, who's watching now in the chat.
Oh my
Chelsea,
God.
What do you think? I don't. She probably doesn't watch this.
I think she's talking to me and Matt's friend Celine, who you've met Celine.
Crashed her wedding.
That's right. Before Adult Swim Fest. That's right. We crashed her wedding. Everything is good. I've got everything I need. How about you? Do you got Sheena's gifts all sorted?
Yeah, so we are two very different people when it comes to gift giving, right? Like I appreciate gifts. I appreciate gifts of many kinds, but I also like to help others by making detailed wish lists on Amazon and places like that where I'm like, this is the thing that I want. So if it's like a pair of headphones or, you know, a game or something, then I'm like, I do all this research, so I'm like, this is the one that I want. So then someone's like, oh, you want headphones? And they get me some random thing. I appreciate it, but I'm also like, I mean, that's not really the one I want.
Not really what I asked for, but yeah, I'll take it.
And I also don't buy myself stuff like a lot. Like I feel weird buying myself stuff. So I feel like that creates the perfect combination for my wife to just knock it out of the park all the time on Christmas. She does a great job. And she like shops for our entire family most of the time. And she just makes it so easy for me. And then I am a terrible gift giver. And I'm literally only responsible for getting her stuff. And I try to do a good job, but I often fall short. But she also does this thing where she like buys herself stuff like all through November and December. And then I'm like, oh, look at this other thing that just arrived from Amazon for you. It's December 15th, Gina. Why couldn't you? Yeah, she's like, oh, just wrap it. Just wrap it. Just wrap it for me. It's fine. So I get like into a mental complex every December where I'm like, I want to do as good for her as she does for me and my entire family. And I just don't. I'll measure up.
Is that a guy thing? Matt, you're in there. Let me know if you're like this, because I feel like my mom is good at gift giving. Chelsea's mom, Cindy, is really good at gift giving. Stacy, Chelsea's sister, is really good at gift giving. And all the men I know generally are not great gift givers. I got Chelsea actually more than one thing this year, and I spent so much extra emotional and mental capital to make sure that I did get her stuff. And I was driving on the freeway earlier today, and I said, oh shit, I only got her one thing. But then I thought about it, I was like, no, actually I got her this and this and this. Oh, I got her a handful. I got her more than one. Oh shit.
Crushing it.
And then I immediately forgot what all those things were again. And then 2 minutes later, I'm like, I only got her one thing, didn't I? Oh crap. But the SNL this weekend, I don't know if you want.
The video that is sweeping the internet, taking the internet by storm, talking about not forgetting a mom for Christmas or whatever, the Christmas morning sketch. That's yeah. No, Sheena's shown it to me. I thought about going and buying her, which I got a robe like last year. I think I've only worn it like twice. But I'm thinking about getting her a robe, another robe, like a third robe, just to stick it to her, just to be like, yeah, wear that robe while you're making the chorizo on Christmas.
Don't tell me about how you're just trying to stick it to Sheena this year.
Leaving her a gift under her tree.
This is a kid friendly show today.
This is not a kid friendly show. And I know that because I click the checkbox at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm every time I upload a video that is not intended for kids. Anyway, hopefully all of you, if you're watching this, if you're listening to this, whether you're scrambling from mall to department store in this last week leading up to Christmas, whether you're frantically clicking on the online store of your choosing, hopefully you're having a great week. You have some time to relax, enjoy friends and family, you know, or just this podcast. If we're your friends and family, then enjoy us, I guess.
You know, one of the things I would like to see under my tree, which Chelsea's already confirmed to me that it's not going to happen, which I'm okay with, because when I find it, I will just buy it, is the Xbox Series One X. And I have money for it. I'm going to get it. It's a certainty. It's just a matter of when. A reason I bring that up is because there's a game I want to play on that system and not on the current generation of console that I have, which is, of course, the Cyberpunk game, which is our first topic.
Cyberpunk 2077 from CD Projekt Red. This is a game that has been highly anticipated for over a year. It was supposed to come out in like, what, the spring or something? It was supposed to come out many, many months ago, and then it was continually delayed. And there was this weird combination of like hype and fan excitement. And some early like videos and stuff, they were like, this game looks amazing. It's going to be fantastic. So fans seem to like be okay that, oh, it got delayed a little bit more. It got delayed a little bit more. But then like around like November when they were like, oh, just kidding, we have to delay it into December. I feel like that was about as far as they could go before fans were like, just put out the game already. Like, let us play it, right? And unfortunately, they did that. The game came out, and I bought it. I actually bought it a couple days early on Steam to play on my PC. And many other people bought it on a variety of systems, a variety of PC configurations, different consoles to include a PlayStation 4, an Xbox One, and the new PS5 and yep. Xbox Series X. And immediately the response was less than great, I will say, with many, I almost said fans, but many players, because they maybe were not fans after the fact, reporting lots of bugs, lots of crashes, lots of issues.
And being in Florida, I'm used to hearing about bugs, right?
They're just bugs.
They're all over the place. This place probably there's probably no bugs anywhere else in the state until Florida existed, right? And then all the bugs eventually migrated north, and some of them died off when they got to like the heat of like Arizona, Colorado, that area. But some of them survived. Basically, lots of bugs here in Florida. Anyways, absolutely. Cyberpunk is like that.
Yeah, Cyberpunk. It's like Florida, except it takes place in California in 2077. If you have been completely outside of the gaming world, Cyberpunk is basically an RPG style game that takes place in 2077 in a city called Night City, where it's futuristic and you have all these computer like body enhancements so that you're kind of merged with a computer and you shoot things and you're like a vigilante, mercenary type guy. And it's very story driven. And the graphics on this game have the potential to be outstanding if you have really, really great equipment.
Yeah, right.
Which brings us to the first issue that I want to discuss. And that is for those folks that were super excited about the game, but purchased it for current gen, at what point does current gen become last gen? Like how far into the release cycle is next gen now current gen? Anyway, if you bought it for a PS4 or you bought it for an Xbox, Xbox One, lots of problems with this game. Crashing, lots of visual glitches, things like that, where it made the game almost unplayable for a lot of people.
Yeah, just to differentiate just a little bit, like the PS4 base model, the one that came out originally versus the PS4 Pro, which was a little bit beefier. PS4 Pro plays it a little bit better than the base model. Same thing with the Xbox One. The base model doesn't run it nearly as well as the newer versions of the Xbox One.
Right. And I don't even have the good Xbox One. I just have like the original one. So that would have been a non-starter for me in terms of playing this.
Matt in the chat says, I have the Xbox One X. I don't know if you do. That's weird. He says he can only imagine his absolute shit on the standard Xbox One. Talking about these bugs real quick, I'm using him as an example. The other day in a text chat, we were talking about Cyberpunk, and he was like, it's not too bad. I'm still enjoying it. Sure, it crashes. It's glitchy here and there and a little bit more, but yeah, I'm still enjoying it a lot. And I feel like in the last couple of days, he has been bitching about it way more.
His willingness to forgive certain annoyances, those limits are breaking.
His one of the first things he said tonight in the chat was Cyberpunk. The reason I'm here on time is because Cyberpunk just crashed on me for the millionth time, so I shit that bitch off.
He may have meant shut, but yeah.
maybe he meant shut, but he definitely said shit that bitch off, which is now my favorite insult for anybody. But that's the thing. I was excited about this game coming out, and I almost bought it day one. I was so close. I was like, oh, you know what? I decided I'm going to wait for the Series 1X to come out, and that's going to be when I actually buy the game. I'll wait a little bit longer. Multiplayer is not coming out for another year anyway, so you know what rush is there? And I'm so glad I made that decision, because once I saw the bad press come out, I'm like, oh crap! I'm so glad I didn't. Wasteland 3 came out on Xbox on Game Pass a couple months back, and I played it, and I was super excited about that too. Within the first couple hours, it glitched out, it crashed, and I said, I will come back to this some other time. I don't have time to invest in a game that will continuously drop on me. Even Grand Theft Auto, between me and Matt, it keeps doing that type of crap. So, yeah. But you don't have those same issues necessarily.
Yeah, well, I don't. I bought it for PC. My PC is about 3 years old now. I built it just over 3 years ago. And I invested a decent amount of money. I didn't buy the nicest components possible, but at the time, I think Nvidia was coming out with, I think, maybe their 2000 series graphics cards. I bought a 1070, which was relatively good at the time. Pretty decent processor, all that other kind of stuff. And my computer still runs really well. Cyberpunk, I was looking at the specs for the game for PC and realized that I will probably not get the highest level of enjoyment or at least visual representation of what this game is possible to produce with the PC that I have. But I should be able to run it no problem and still be able to play it. It just may not look as ray traced and all this, you know, craziness as it will,
sure,
on somebody that was able to nab a, you know, 3000 series graphics card or something like that. So I did pre-order it. We talked about the game a few days before. We were like, Cyberpunk ? Is this happening? And like, to the point where I thought we were both buying it. and I don't regret buying it. I will say that when I first started playing it, the first couple days, I did have some really, like, concerning issues. The first part being, like, all the trees in Night City seem to be visible at all times, even through walls and things like that. So if I turned in a certain direction, I could see trees that were, like, off on the horizon, like, clipping through all the buildings and stuff like that, which was, like, really gross. And I was like, okay, this should not be happening in a brand new, highly anticipated game. And then there was a point where I was really struggling, because there's an element in the game where you can scan things. For me, if you hold down tab, I think it is.
Okay. Yeah. Same with me.
Yeah. You bring up, like, something that will scan for enemies, and you can scan for electronics in the room, and then you can hack them and stuff like that. Well, I think if you hit caps lock, that just stays up. And I didn't realize that. And so I would try to, you have to hit caps lock again to make it go away. And I just thought it was freezing on that. And I think I actually exited the game a couple times, not knowing just how to get out of that. But so far, I don't think the game has actually crashed, like legitimately crashed on my system. I'm, you know, knock on wood, because I'm sure it will the next time I play now. But And since I have downloaded the updated drivers for my graphics card, the tree glitches and those sorts of things have gone away. Now, as I play, do I walk up to a street corner and an NPC is like buried to his knees in the curb or something? Is he like clipping through a wall or something? Like, yeah, those sorts of things still happen from time to time. But for the most part, I think I've got my settings down to like the right level where I can just play the game for what it is, get as much visually as possible based on the system that I have, and not be worried about the constant glitching and crashing and things like that. So that, which we'll talk about my thoughts on the game itself here in a little bit, but it was shocking to me that this game, which again was so highly anticipated, so like the amount of marketing and hype generated for this game was unreal. I mean you could find Cyberpunk branded just about everything if it appeals to the gamer community.
Chiquita bananas sponsored by Cyberpunk.
Absolutely, they're the right color. They're that yellow color that the rest of their marketing is.
That's right. But, Runts. If you open a box of Runts, you know, the cherry, sure, you know, whatever. But on the bananas, the candy bananas, it says Cyberpunk. By the way, side note, Chelsea told me about this. Evidently the flavor that banana candies are is like some old ancient flavor of banana that doesn't exist anymore. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. Like that people complain that banana candy doesn't taste like bananas.
Maybe you were talking to me about, maybe you told me about that.
I don't know if I told you, someone did on the internet, that they sourced the flavor for banana candy from an old version of bananas. And bananas have since evolved to what we know of them today, and like, or because they've been GMO'd or whatever.
Yeah.
And so
GM, Ford, Chrysler.
Yeah.
What the?
Quiet you.
Okay, all right. Back onto it.
To go from that level of hype, that level of excitement, that many people eager to play the game, to a couple weeks later you have Sony pulling the game off of their app store and providing refunds to all the people that purchased it for PlayStation. Like that is insane. That is crazy to go from that level of like expectation to that level of disappointment in a couple weeks time. I mean, CD Projekt Red's stock is like plummeting. They're taking huge losses during this. And it's really unfortunate because the game itself, I think, is pretty good. Yeah. But the way that they brought it to market was an absolute catastrophe. And so, like, do you feel... I mean, hindsight is 2020, and 2020 is garbage. But, like, do you think they should have waited longer? Do you think they should have ironed out the other bugs? Do you think they should have come out earlier with like a beta version and said, hey, this game is broken, like it's not done yet, but hey, if you're that eager to play it, come play the broken version and we'll slap a beta tag on it and people will know to temper their expectations. If you are the CEO of the company, how do you sort of retroactively solve this problem?
Here's what my standard response is to this, based off conversations that I've had with a few folks, Matt, some of the folks in the Rick and Morty subreddit, we're talking about this too, where one, they could have done a beta to identify some performance issues early on. Pre-order, you set up pre-orders, people who got pre-ordered, then they get 24, 48 hours, whatever, and then you you stress test the game and you get a lot of feedback and you're like, oh crap, you know, okay Okay, stress testing is more for, you know, like online games, but
yeah, it's not some sort of multiplayer. You don't have to test your servers. You don't have you know, do all that. I mean, this is a single player game, so in that respect, I understand why they wouldn't. It is very story driven, so if you give it to people early, it kind of limits their ability.
But you can establish, you know, I haven't played the game, so I don't know like what the tutorial is. But you can do a tailored version of the game to see how it performs. But I think what the problem is they should have waited. They should have made this an actual next generation game rather than hide the fact that it's not going to run well on previous consoles. So I'm going to go back to the press release from the president. Where he says, "Dear gamers, first of all, we'd like to start by apologizing to you for not showing the game on base last-gen consoles before it premiered, and in consequence, not allowing you to make a more informed decision about your purchase. We should have paid more attention to making it play better on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One." So that piece of the press statement tells me, one, that they hid it intentionally. They made a willful intentional decision not to show those how it performed on those consoles, and also that you know what, maybe they should have focused more on that or on either focus on making sure it works on those old consoles or being like, you know what, let's wait a couple more months till everybody starts buying, getting the PS5s, getting the Xbox Series One X, and it becomes an actual launch title for those consoles. You know, I know for like Witcher 3, people have a lot of faith in CD Projekt Rec, but they, it's a huge faux pas in my mind.
Well, and you think like when this game was initially hyped, when we were seeing like the early footage of this game, nobody had a PS5, nobody had. Nobody even knew what the new consoles were going to look like or be called. So, yeah, like they were building a game with some maxed out specs. I definitely think they were more focused on the high end gaming PC market because, I mean, my PC is no slouch, and this is the first game where I felt like it puts it through its paces. Like I know this would look a lot better if I had an updated graphics card. If I didn't have 3-year-old components in this machine. Next gen, I'm sure they're still having issues on next gen consoles the same way that I am, but I'm sure it's not as frequent as what they're experiencing on the old hardware
or debilitating. Right. I pulled that excerpt from Paul Tassi on Twitter, and you asked this question a few minutes ago, but somebody out there, JB3_Xbox, says, at what point does current gen become last gen? Since next gen is here, they could say it's optimized for current gen rather than for current gen. And somebody responds to them at Domster. We're about a month into the newest gen. Allow at least 3 months for market penetration. Last gen doesn't mean not the most widely used. A game should be decent on the lowest platform you support or don't support it. And I think that's basically my argument in all of this.
So the game is still rated relatively well on Steam. If I often go to Steam's reviews to get a sense of what the community thinks about the game. I want to say it was around like 70-something% positive, mostly positive for the game still. With the fact in mind that we're talking about PC gamers, most of the people that are playing the game on PC will know whether or not their machine can run it decently. And those that maybe don't have the best system, yeah, they're probably going to experience some of those major crashes. But the rest of us are just experiencing a lot of the same weird glitchy type bugs where either you have to update a driver or they just haven't you know, they haven't figured out the hit boxes perfectly on certain NPCs or things like that. And there are times when I see stuff, I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. But I see that in a lot of AAA type games that come out. It's these games are rarely perfect. And it's very clear to me after playing the game, I think I've logged at least like 30 something hours in it already, that the focus on this game was to tell an interesting story, to create a very large and immersive city that feels accessible, feels like you can kind of go just about anywhere unless the door is locked. I don't experience any like loading or like screens like that. I feel like I can go transition from one part of the city to another and then into a building, into a room, like go interact with NPCs throughout the game, and it feels pretty seamless there. And I will say I am very much enjoying the game. I am enjoying playing it. Oh, excuse me. I think the story is really good. And discovering how Keanu Reeves' character, Johnny Silverhand, how he is incorporated into the game and the, I guess I'll say, relationship that that character has with the player, I thought was awesome. And I love the way that they incorporate that throughout the game. And I'll just say it has a very like Fight Club kind of vibe to me that I really enjoy. So
I'm Johnny Silverhand. That's
whoa.
This is like Johnny Mnemonic. Oh.
So yeah, I am enjoying playing the game. I have done about I think 40% of the main story and done lots of side quests and other things too. Lots of great Easter eggs and little things hidden throughout the game as well. And it is very unfortunate that all of that is being overshadowed by what I interpret to be an urgency to get the game out while the hype for the holidays and everything is here, to maximize the market penetration, I guess, for this game by including current previous gen consoles, when the game really, based on the evidence that we have right now in the market, does not run effectively on those machines. They should have cut their losses, used it, you know, in a partnership with Sony and Microsoft to say, hey, we're going to make these next gen exclusives. This will help sell those consoles, you know, give us an extra X percent, however those types of deals work.
Yeah. Or what they do is they just say, this is actually coming out on next gen first, and in a couple of months it's going to come out on previous gen. I mean, because they must have known that the performance wasn't spectacular. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I do want to play the game. I am interested in the story, and I do want to see what it looks like when it comes out. With a couple major patches, we'll clean up a lot of things.
I think you're going to be in great shape because you're forced to wait. You're going to avoid a lot of these early glitches that will have to get fixed through subsequent patches and things like that. So by the time you come into it, you know, maybe your version of V won't be T-posing and nude from the waist down on a motorcycle when you're driving through Night City. Maybe your whatever size of genitalia that you decide in your character creation, it won't randomly flop out of your cybernetic pants on the menu screen. You know, you're gonna be in a great place, Brandon, and I'm really happy for you.
Well, these are reasons why I think I want to buy it right away.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, that's our thoughts on the current state of Cyberpunk. Maybe we can chat a little bit more in the post show with folks about some of my more specific thoughts. But yeah, if you're playing Cyberpunk, if you like it, you hate it, if you've already demanded a refund, we want to know your experiences. So hit us up. You can send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter @apathusiast. One of my friends just popped into Steam and is playing Cyberpunk 2077. So the notification is up on my computer. So I know people are playing it. People are enjoying the game. And it is the story, I think, that ultimately will probably save this game and keep the fans there. And speaking of stories that keep the fans engaged, we have to transition to our other topic of the evening, which is, of course, Mandalorian Season 2 and its epic season finale. We are going to talk about all of the Disney Plus news, all of the Star Wars spinoffs that are coming up, but we are going to reserve spoiler type conversation for the end of this discussion. Is that fair, Brandon?
Yeah.
So that we can.
That's fair, I guess.
Anybody that's been slacking, I feel like at this point for streaming, if it's Monday night and the show came out on Friday and you haven't watched it, you know, it's on you. Right, but we will at least reserve some of that for the end. But man, this season, it lived up. Like it definitely, like when we talked about it when the season started, but I think season two was better. You didn't watch all of it, right?
Of season two? No, I watched all of season two.
Okay. Okay.
I didn't watch all of season one. Mm. And we talked about this on a previous episode. I watched like the first two, three episodes of season one. And then by episode three, I was like, he's getting his ass kicked. He's a wuss. Like, why am I thinking that he's a badass? Why am I interested in his character? And I ended up skipping pretty much all of season one up until I'd read about it, kind of like how I do for Walking Dead still, like just on the Wikipedia. But I watched like the last two episodes of season one and I'm like, okay, all right. It got a little bit better because it had a natural progression and in interest to it. When season two came out, it took me a long time to start watching season two. And as a matter of fact, I think it wasn't until the third episode of season two came out that I like sat down one Saturday morning and I watched it all. And then I pulled my 8-year-old and then I pulled him, for when Boba Fett started showing up. He's like, oh, Boba Fett. And so this season I did watch the whole thing and I was interested enough to where when a new episode would come out on Friday that I would, by the end of the weekend, I watched it with my kid. So, yes, season two, much better than the first season. We've talked about it here as well about this season is like an odd, it seems like a D&D campaign. Dave Filoni has put together a D&D campaign for The Mandalorian.
Which I would love to play, by the way. Yeah, like I, you know, write it down as an RPG and I'm in. I'll roll a character. Let's make it happen. Yeah, I agree with you that there are episodic tendencies in this where it feels like, you know, Mando comes into a planet. He needs to find someone. Someone says, well, I'll help you find them if you do X. And he's like, all right, it's a deal. And then that's your episode. And then da-dun, like this is the way he goes. He moves on to the next. But I feel like between people that I talk to day to day, Star Wars fans in general, the hype, the excitement for what Mandalorian has done in terms of being the first like legitimate live action Star Wars television show that is true to the original subject matter. It is exciting for fans to watch. A lot of fans that are less than pleased with the latest trilogy, they're like, this is what Star Wars should have been, you know, all this stuff. Everybody seems to love it. Like the merchandise is on point, like, and it's just blowing up. And based on the what is it, investors call that Disney did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Apparently they agree, because we have so many new Star Wars TV shows coming to Disney Plus in the next couple of years. It is shocking. It is very exciting to see. I've included the complete list.
All right.
In our show notes, so we can kind of at least touch on each one.
Reference them periodically.
Yes.
Absolutely. We're not getting into spoilers for this last episode, which I mean we might as well, because of how I'm going. But the season two was very, very, very. I enjoyed it. There's a couple moments, and a lot of people can agree with me. A lot of men, children can agree. Like they got teary eyed. My friend Omar, he's like, I got teary eyed. When Boba Fett showed up in the middle of the season, I got teary eyed because my uncle and my older brother, Boba Fett was his thing. Like my uncle always had like the Boba Fett figurine way back in the day, and he would have loved to have seen that. And then I didn't follow Rebels. I didn't follow Clone Wars, but I knew about Ahsoka and I knew about Bo-Katan and those characters. And I knew about that going into the season because of Darksaber that Moff Gideon has and all that type of stuff. And very, very fan servicey. And I think that's
Hold on a sec. All right. We're good to go. Okay. We're good to go.
Yeah. I think that played into a lot of it. Was all these fan characters that people wanted to see more of in a live action way. Rosario Dawson is Ahsoka, right? And then of course how the season ends, which is a huge thing. And people are like, yes, this is Dave Filoni, Favreau. They saved Star Wars. They saved it from Kathleen Kennedy, who's ruining everything with the sequel trilogy, right?
Mm-hmm. Even though Kathleen Kennedy is just as involved with Star Wars now and with Mandalorian and making sure that this show is terrific as well. She's doing a tremendous job. And I don't hate the sequel trilogy, whatever the fan base calls them. I like it. I mean it's not perfect, but I prefer it to the prequels. So I don't know what that says.
Yeah.
But I am in the age group that did not grow up on the prequels. I was entering into adulthood as the prequels emerged. So, I was already getting into my jaded phase with those. So let's not talk about midichlorians, right? Anyway, there's a lot of fan service. You and I have talked about this outside of the podcast. There is a lot of fan service in Mandalorian. The bringing back of characters from other Star Wars content that fans love, and they're just kind of throwing it all out there and being like, oh, you want Ahsoka? Here you go. You love Boba Fett? He's not dead. Bring him back. Like, and a lot of that's like, heck yes, we love seeing this, but at the same time, it's not creating much that's super original. Like, he's been back to Tatooine like 3 or 4 times, I think, in the series. Like, yeah, we get it. That little rock out on the edge of the universe or whatever sure does get a lot of attention for being so remote and unimportant.
Sure does.
People sure go there quite a bit. So I don't know. It's
In season one, going into season one and throughout season one, the big kind of appeal of Mandalorian was he is not part of the main Star Wars lore, like the big saga, big major players,
the Skywalker saga, as it's often known.
Yes. He is not about that. That's why they're supposed to be on the outer territories, like on the edge where there's lawlessness and the Empire is not around and people are trying to figure stuff, just survive. And he is a samurai, a Kurosawa type stuff, the West, old Westerns, right? Man with No Name, that type of stuff. And then in season two, it moved away from that into the, well, actually, you know what? You the fans actually want this to be a part of the bigger thing. So we're going to throw in a bunch of Easter eggs. We're going to have clone troop. We're going to have dark troopers. We're going to have all this extra stuff that you want this. Here's how this plays in here. Jedi. You want Jedi? We got some.
We don't just have Jedi. We have your favorite Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say that Filoni and Favreau, Kathleen Kennedy's decision to bring them in to run it, I'm just pointing that out. Yeah. It has done well for them. Whether it did that for the movies, that's another story entirely. I like the movies well enough, but I understand that there is a big subset of the Star Wars fandom that thinks that, well, Star Wars is dead now because of those movies. This show goes to prove them wrong. And a lot of them would agree with that.
And the production schedule for Disney proves them wrong, because there's a whole lot of stuff coming out.
Yeah.
I like that idea that this show deals with the lore of Star Wars that exists outside of the Skywalker movies. You had to either read a book on the expanded universe or watch, you know, an animated series or something to know the history of the Mandalorians and know a lot of this information. And so a lot of what is in the show is new to probably the majority of viewers. They don't know why Mandalorians and Jedi didn't get along, why they were fighting, what their history was. They don't know what happened to the Mandalorian civilization, all these things. And so the show is slowly kind of revealing that through characters that it introduces and some of the storylines that it deals with, which I think actually makes Mandalorian more accessible for people that aren't traditional Star Wars fans, because you don't have to know everything about Luke and Leia and Han Solo and the Empire and the Rebels, because that, while that is kind of there and the effects of that play out in the show, that's not what it's about. And so long as you get to know the main characters, you get to know Mando, you get to know Grogu, you get to know, you know, Bill Burr, then all, you know, then you can kind of just appreciate this show for what elements in the world it deals with. And I'm hopeful that some of these shows, as these spinoffs and these other shows start to come out, they do that same thing where they can exist in the Star Wars universe without having to rely too heavily on those core films, so they can tell their own stories and just take advantage of how rich the lore is and how many things they could do in that environment.
Yeah, you say expand some of these characters, and I want to bring that up again about season two. You know, I don't care about Cara Dune, whatever. You know, Apollo Creed's character with
they're both very lightly featured in the season. I feel like they're
well Cara Dune, like, she was introduced last season, and then she was in at least three or four episodes this season. Like they're trying to make a character, they're trying to make her a major player, right? One of the series that is coming out, and I don't know if this is what she's going to be in, is what the Rangers of the Outer Rim or something like that.
Rangers of the New Republic, which to me it feels like Cops, the Star Wars version of Cops. Like, a lot of the stuff that I'm seeing feels like this is going to be more about like the two dudes in the X-Wing that in the X-Wings that pull over Mando and he ends up hiding with the frog lady on that ice planet or whatever.
Yeah.
More about them, more about how the rebellion sort of in its infancy of this new republic, right, or whatever, like how these guys try to, I guess, police the universe now that they've defeated the Empire. I don't know if that's what it's going to be, but that's the impression.
Because isn't she considered a ranger?
Yeah, she gets a badge, right? Like,
yeah.
And she officially works with them now, so she could definitely be in that mix. It is that group of people that I think the series is going to focus on.
And like Timothy Oliphant, even though he's a ranger in his little town, like that's what I think of when that idea came up. Because okay, going back, the Mandalorian. I feel like the Mandalorian for these other characters is just they use a Mandalorian as pilot season for these other characters to see if anybody latches on to them. Boba Fett was gonna have something eventually, regardless. Cara Dune, that type of stuff. Ahsoka, her having her own live action, right? Probably trying to get Thrawn and Ezra and stuff like that, I'm sure. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, the Ahsoka cameo, I guess, was like a huge, like, whoa, I didn't really expect that. I didn't, and I haven't finished Clone Wars. That is on my to watch list now. I feel like after this season, I have to make myself watch it. And I will admit that the first season has been a chore for me. And I hear it gets a lot better as you watch the show, but it has not been easy for me to get into initially. And you can send your hate mail to apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. That's fine. But the fact that, like, and let's talk about all these shows because we keep hinting at them.
Yeah.
But like a spinoff live action show for Ahsoka, like so much they can do. So many people that love the Clone Wars animated shows, and to see her kind of in her own series and what she's going to do with that. I was excited to see it, and I'm not even as invested in that character as so many fans are. So I think that is going to be very cool, in the same way that like Mandalorian's cool, but he's not a Jedi. This is taking a Jedi character and probably going to go through a lot of those similar things. Just focusing on the Jedi side of things. Right.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Has been well known for a long time. Ewan McGregor is back. It was announced that Hayden Christensen is going to be on that show, reprising his role as Darth Vader, which should be interesting. I still have really high hopes for this show because there is a comic from the current run of Star Wars comic books. And it's early on. It's within the first like 10 issues where they go back and Luke is reading like a journal from Obi-Wan in the first like the first days after he drops Luke off to be raised by his aunt and uncle. And it's about how Obi-Wan is surviving on Tatooine as a Jedi in hiding. And it's such a great story, and I would love for them to take that and run with it in this series. I think it takes place like 10 years after Return of the Jedi, or not Return of the Jedi. What is it? Attack of the Clones or
Rise of the Sith or Revenge of the Sith?
Whatever the third one is, Episode 3.
Rots. Yeah. Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think it'd be fantastic. I really do. We talked about Rangers of the New Republic, Andor. Are you hyped on Andor?
No. I as a Rogue One fan, I think Rogue One is still one of the best since the original trilogy. Sure. I don't care about those characters because they died. they not because they did, but because their purpose in the Star Wars lore is to get to a certain point in the Star Wars lore, get the plans for the Death Star, and transmit those to where the original trilogy happens, right? Any forcing of tales with Andor, like they can't involve any of the main players, because then you ruin Rogue One to me almost, right?
His character, it's not interesting. It's gonna have to be a completely different. He is gonna have to carry the show, which I don't feel like he carried Rogue One very well.
He wasn't the main guy.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he has this history of being like a spy for the rebellion and stuff like that. And I think there's something there that they could possibly capitalize on, but. Well, we're just gonna have to wait and see on this one. This is not at the top of my hype list for sure.
Yeah, okay. So there's gonna be a droid show. I think that one might be animated.
A droid story is animated. Yeah. The Bad Batch is animated. That's gonna be based on like a crew of like clone troopers. Basically, it very much looks like the similar style of like Clone Wars and things like that.
Okay.
And then Visions was announced, which is another animated, kind of like an anthology of Star Wars stories, but these are going to be done in more of like Japanese animation, like anime style. So really no idea what to expect from those.
Is that going to be like Marvel's What If type stuff?
I could definitely see that being something like that. Yeah.
We already talked about Ahsoka, the Lando show.
Very little coming out about Lando. I'm pretty sure they haven't secured what's his name,
Glover, Donald Glover.
Yeah, Donald Glover. I hope they do. I hope they do.
Yeah.
Started watching Atlanta. It's a great show. So, and okay. Then this
one on the bottom, you can't really see it on the stream. It's not a show; it's a movie, by Patty Jenkins, yeah. Hurt Locker of Hurt Locker fame.
Wonder Woman.
You know, yes, Rogue Squadron. Now of everything that's here, that's the one thing that I'm stoked for, because, like. The GameCube, Rogue Squadron, any of those flight, like even Squadrons on Xbox, you know, on a PC, the B-Wing just came out, so you can play the B-Wing now if you download it. That stuff is what always, even more, I think even more than the lightsaber battles, right, from the original trilogy, it was always the starships that really appealed to me. That was always so badass. Lightsaber's cool, but you know that
laser sword fighting battle, great, but give me some space-based dogfighting, okay? Let's get this going. Let's do some trench runs. Let's blow some Death Stars already.
Yes. Yes. The X-Wings like on the planet, like flying through a planet for the new trilogy, like that imagery is so great to me. I have a Rogue One poster over here on my wall of just the X-Wings like going across the water. Just so badass. I'm looking forward to that.
I cannot wait for that. And again, I think that is going to be a direct to Disney Plus film. It may get a theatrical release, but I don't know. I'm excited for all of these. One other series that we didn't touch on is The Acolyte, which is actually a series that's going to take place like hundreds of years before Phantom Menace. So entering into it a period that really hasn't been covered much in terms of Star Wars history or at least on screen. So that could be another exciting sort of untapped area. And then this is the point when I will say, I mean, this is known, it's been announced on social, but we're gonna take the spoiler warnings off now. So if you have not watched the last episode of season 2 of The Mandalorian, go stop what you're doing, go catch up, because the show is fantastic. But yes, The big announcement at the end of that episode is the Book of Boba Fett, which was presented in such an amazing way as a sizzle reel post-credits scene at the end of Mandalorian. What do you think? How excited are you for a standalone spin-off Boba Fett series?
My question is it actually a spin-off series, or is it an addition to The Mandalorian? Because Mandalorian is presented in chapters, and
yes,
if it's presented in chapters, the Book of Boba Fett might fit into that chapters kind of feel of a season three of Mandalorian.
So here's what the evidence tells us. Okay, the Book of Boba Fett and the Mandalorian have separate production schedules. The stars of Mandalorian have signed on for a third season. So there is a third season of Mandalorian in production. It is going to come out as for a third season.
Okay.
So the evidence is saying that these are two different series.
That's all I needed to hear. All right. Am I excited about the Book of Boba Fett? No. I'm not. All right,
that's our show, everybody. Have a good night.
I like him as an ancillary character, not as the main event. He's like the Incredible Hulk. I like the Incredible Hulk movie with Edward Norton. I'm in the minority here. I think that the Incredible Hulk is a much better additional player than he is carrying his own film. Boba Fett is similar in the sense that Boba Fett on the sidelines or like coming in out of nowhere and being badass and then being gone makes him more interesting to me than
sure
seeing him kill Bib Fortuna. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. R.I.P. him going into Jabba's, you know, ex-palace and tearing it up and sitting on the throne, so to speak, and showing like the new leadership in town, right? There's something there that's interesting to me. There's something there that I'm like, okay, especially with an unknown Mandalorian being able to carry two seasons of what I would argue is some of my favorite Star Wars content in the last decade. Like, if they can do that with an unknown character and a baby Yoda, then I'm optimistic about them being able to do it with an established character like Boba Fett,
yeah,
that they rescued from the Sarlacc pit and somehow, you know, brought back to life. So
I need to do is Photoshop Boba Fett onto one of the season covers of The Sopranos. Because that's essentially what that show is going to be about, is Boba Fett running, you know, sending Pauly to go get his laundry and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's just going to run his own mafia now, and he's gonna come out and host the pod races and do all of the things that a Hutt would do. So
yes, finally we can get to what that Watto. We can get Watto back into the Star Wars
get
lore.
That Watto series.
Where's
finally
he been?
We've been clamoring for it.
I don't see up there is the Watto series.
Yeah. Heads or tails? Is that going to be animated or not animated?
Watto? The Watto series. You know, I think based off, we didn't even mention Luke Skywalker at all tonight.
Well, that's now that we're past the spoiler tag, we can get into the details of that final episode.
If they can de-age Mark Hamill to do Luke Skywalker in the finale of The Mandalorian, then they can digitally de-age Watto to make sure that he is in a live action.
I didn't do any research on this. Is that how they did Luke for this? Did Mark Hamill come back? Did they de-age him? I will say, as Luke rolled up, and again, we are in spoiler territory here, folks. As Luke rolled up on that ship, first, when I saw the X-Wing, I was like, oh, shoot. Is it him? Is it him? And then he's got the hood up, just cutting through all these dark troopers. When I saw the green lightsaber, I was like, oh, it's him. It's him. And then immediately my mind started going to who is it though? Mm-hmm. Is it Mark Hamill? Did they de-age Mark Hamill? Are they doing voiceover work? Is it Sebastian Stan? Did they finally do the fan casting that everybody keeps talking about, how he could play a young Luke in some of these series? And then they ended up doing the Uncanny Valley de-aged, like, yeah. let's just use technology and make him young again. It didn't look too bad.
No, it didn't.
I thought it was passable.
It's always in the mouth. That's always where the digitally de-aging is uncanny valley for me, is in the mouth. Favreau says, we started off part of the whole series with Baby Yoda reveal, the Grogu reveal. Everyone was blown away by that secret. But then he goes on to say, part of that is the secret of not telling too many people about things. Having Mark Hamill actually on set filming, and us using whatever technology we had available to de-age him and try to make him look as much like he did in the old films. So it was actually Mark Hamill on set to do that stuff. And that hallway scene with the dark troopers, very, very reminiscent of Rogue One, with Darth Vader at the end just destroying the rebels. Which by the way, I read this on Reddit earlier today. That was Rogue One went through reshoots, and that was one of the ones that Kathleen Kennedy was like, you need to have this, you should put this scene in there. So having that echoes, as they say, of Vader doing that and then his son later doing that with robots, is just, you know, badass. You never mess with a Skywalker in a hallway. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Keep him out of the hallways. Yeah, I thought it was a great reveal. I was super pumped. I was very excited. I had multiple people texting me, coming up and talking to me later that day about it and over the weekend. This has definitely been a series and a piece of Star Wars content that is getting people really excited about Star Wars. And I'm hoping that all of these spinoff series and standalone series that we just rattled off, they're not gonna water that down too much. I'm hoping they can keep the level of quality. Obviously, some of these are not gonna hold up. They're not all gonna be winners, but hopefully they can at least overall stay above the line. A couple of things before we get out of here that I still want to talk about in terms of Mando storylines. Grogu is off with Luke. Luke picks him up. And now Mandalorian and Grogu are separated. They are not together. The story hook, right, for season three is not going to be delivering Grogu to where he needs to go, to rescuing Grogu. I think we've closed the chapter, if you will, on, and there will still be a connection there. I think things will still happen, but I think we've really stepped into a new line where now that Mando has picked up the Darksaber that he has won in combat, he is by right the king of the Mandalorians or whatever sort of government system that they have. So I definitely see a season three running with that storyline where he is a, you know, unwilling leader potentially, or does he embrace it?
I can't.
So that's obviously going to create a list of potential Mandalorians and things that will probably come into contact with him and challenge him for the right to carry the saber and things like that.
Beat my ass, I don't care, like, you know, knock my ass out, take it from me.
You gotta die. And they're like, well, but even though he didn't kill the, like, other guy.
Yeah, so Moff Gideon didn't die, yeah. You know?
So I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. Good luck, Favreau. on setting all that up. But good, I think it could be good. I'm not saying that Baby Yoda carried the show, but there are a lot of people that watch the show because
of
Grogu.
It gave him a reason to relate to. And maybe through Grogu, the audience was able to relate to Din Djarin, a little bit more, right, through the two seasons. And maybe people are more willing to now watch the show without Grogu. I will say, though, that it seems like that is his central quest and the central reason why we were paying attention to him. And so I think it has to be a really compelling reason for folks to stick with it. Maybe they bring it back. Maybe he meets a ne'er-do-well Ben Solo in the third season, because I think somebody said read somewhere or heard it that this is supposed to lead into how the First Order was formed. Like the Mandalorian is supposed to lead that way eventually. Like maybe that's just somebody's forecasting. But yeah,
I'm sure there's a giant spreadsheet or like a flow chart somewhere in like some locked room at Disney headquarters that has it all mapped out and it all comes together perfectly. But for us, we're probably just gonna have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So yeah, any final thoughts on Mando or any other Star Wars stuff that's coming our way?
The very last thought I have is, let us know what your thoughts are. There's a bunch of different social media channels that you can get a hold of us on. You know, there's Twitter at Apathusiast. I'm at Barnyard Cruise. Juggle Mino over there with Travis.
Whatever you want to do. If you're watching the video version of this on YouTube, leave a comment. Let us know in the comments. Don't forget to like this video, subscribe, do all of those things that people do on YouTube. Let us know if you're actually watching it on YouTube so that we can keep posting them there. But yeah, let us know what you guys think. And yeah, we're gonna head out now to do our streaming only post show with the good folks over here on Twitch. If you want to be part of the post show, make sure you hang out Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern is when we go live. And then when this podcast ends, we jump right into that post show. So stick around for that if you're watching live. If you are listening or watching the recorded version, thank you guys so much for being here. We'd love to hear from you guys. Hopefully you have a wonderful holiday, and we will see you in 2021, our last show of 2020 for Apathetic Woo! Enthusiasm. This is amazing. We made it. We made it, you guys.
We did it. Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. And until next time, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon. And goodbye.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.